The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Texas show. Hey, do you like to eat nuts? Like super nummy hazelnuts and almonds and filberts and macadamia nuts and Brazil nuts? Right? You like cracking them open and digging out the choicest morsels of delectable nut meats? Because I really don't. Yep, no reason, just not a big nut fan. Never have been. Anyway, here's Mr. Totally Nutty McNutso himself, Eric Matek.
Mr. Totally Nutty McNutso himself. Did he think of that? Hey,
that's funny.
Hey,
yes.
Alvin, how you doing?
Hey,
it's
had a
Monday.
Great weekend, yeah. Good.
You had a great weekend?
I did, and I know you did too.
You did? You do?
Yeah, I'm guessing.
I had an okay weekend, I think. You know, sometimes you have to think like, what did I do? Who am I? What day is it today?
Yeah.
It's pathetic. Okay, first of all, today's Monday.
Yes.
And it's exciting for the simple fact that today, in a couple of minutes, we have Brian Kilmeade. A lot of people know him from Fox and Friends.
That's right.
He's known to be a reclusive. He lives in like a bunker, and there's like some kind of a hydraulic thing that whisks him to the set. No one ever knows anything about him. We're gonna have him in the studio.
He's an international man of mystery.
We're going to get to know him as the man,
Brian
Kilmeade. We're going to find out about his background, where he came from, and who set up this hydraulic tube to get him from his house. Nobody knows where it is.
I think it's
in the Cayman Islands. And it just whisks him to the set of Fox and Friends. But he's a big mystery. No one's ever seen him off of that set.
Ooh.
He's going to be on this set. I don't know how they're going to do it. But
they're going to
get him here in
a couple
of minutes. Brian Kilmeade of Fox and Friends. Okay. And then an hour or two. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Hercules in the studio.
Yeah.
Hercules. We tried to get Tarzan, Johnny Weissmuller. He died a long time ago. We said, who can we get?
Yeah.
Aquaman. There's no real Aquaman.
Yeah.
But there's a real Hercules. It's Kevin Sorbo.
I know. And, you know, he is actually a good-looking fella. I got to say it right on out.
I have to say, it's surprising.
It is.
As a straight man find myself attracted in that way.
Both of us.
Just mean, you know, in a wholesome way, just to say, man.
I appreciate that.
Actually, that's not true. I wasn't attracted to him. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, okay.
But you know what, though? It's funny because I've met him so many times now that I forget that he's Hercules. I just think, hey, Kevin, how you doing?
That's right.
Most of the world knows him as Hercules. Hercules, by the way, is such a huge show.
It is.
It's the big. It bypassed Baywatch.
Yes.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Anyway,
does he always have to dress as Hercules?
I know that's what's weird.
A suit once.
I was going to say that was a little weird.
Yeah.
That was uncalled for. It's winter in New York. What is he doing? What's he thinking?
All right.
Okay, but he's going to be in here in a couple of minutes.
Put some shoes on at least.
Before we get into other stuff, I want to remind folks we're doing this campaign with CSI, Christian Solidarity International.
Yes.
This is such a privilege. If you have not yet given, folks, this is a privilege to give, because CSI is helping persecuted Christians around the world. We've already raised over $17,000.
Mm-hmm.
We're about a third of the way to the goal.
That's right.
So we're kind of on track for the end of this month. But we know what happens at Christmas and stuff. So we need you, if you have not yet given, to please go to MetaxasTalk.com. MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner for CSI. These are Christians. Now, again, it gets so serious. It's very tough to fathom that while we're living in the freedom of the West, most of us, unless many people listen on podcasts around the world, but those of us who live in free countries know that to conceive of actual slavery in this day and age, I mean, we talk about William Wilberforce 200 years ago abolishing the slave trade in the British Empire. Well, unfortunately, many Muslim countries, radical Islamic forces believe in slavery, and they enslave Christians. This is hard to believe, but I'm telling you this is true. CSI redeems them, pays money to get them out of slavery, to set them up again in a free situation with a free life. They give them food and the means to survive for $250. And I would think you'd want to get your kids involved in this if you have kids, or a gift for a grandkid, that you could free a slave. This is not a metaphor.
Right.
Literally, for $250, CSI is asking for that amount. Now, if you can't give that, whatever you can give would be spectacular.
Yes.
So you go to MetaxasTalk.com. It's very important that we do this. We're not going to ask again. This is the only month that we're doing this for them. But it's one of these organizations that we vetted as how can I put it? You know, there are a lot of people around the world doing good works, but this is one we've worked with before, and we know how they use the money and, you know, what they can do. I think it's the fact that they have the infrastructure in place.
Yes.
You know, you can give a lot of people money, but they already have the infrastructure in place. They are already connected in these regions, so they're able to do something
about it. They've got the, you know, relationships set up with some of these bad guys. They have to deal with some bad guys.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
So whatever you give, we want to, by the way, we want to reward you just as a way of thanking you. It doesn't come out of the CSI budget. But if you give $100, you automatically get a free subscription to Metaxas Super.
Yes.
Now, if you have seen the new studio, you're going to freak out. You're going to say, what? I can watch that every day on my computer? Well, anybody but my parents can figure out how to do this.
That's right.
My parents, I preached at Times Square Church this weekend, and I spent a long time on the phone talking to my mom and dad about how they could just click on the link, and there it is. This morning, my mother called me and says, we didn't get it, but we got you in Australia. I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, you gave a speech in Australia, and we watched that. That's like 2.5 years ago I was in Australia.
Well,
that's what they were able to find.
They're catching up then, 2.5 years
behind. They're just
behind.
Right behind me. They're right. I can feel them breathing on my neck. But it's so funny because honestly, I just want to say that you can watch us in the studio on camera.
Yes.
We are right now. We've got a makeup lady sitting here ready to do our makeup. I mean, it's kind of an amazing thing.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous studio, and you get a free subscription to Metaxas Super. So all year long, and by the way, if you don't want to do it, you can give it to somebody else. And all year long, you can watch us do the radio program like it's on TV, except you'll see when you watch it, we're doing a radio program. There's no singing and dancing.
Not yet. No.
Because we're connected to the microphones and all that stuff. But the fact of the matter is that for $100, that's a fantastic gift for yourself or a loved one.
Yes.
Now, if you give $250, which is the amount that enables CSI to purchase the freedom of a slave in South Sudan.
Right.
First of all, it's a wonderful thing to brag to your friends, right? Like, hey, there's this place where you can go and you can do these great things, and maybe your friends will be interested in it, because it's just something that when you hear about this horror going on, you want to talk about it. You want to say, hey, there's something we can do. There's this incredible organization, and there's a radio program, and if you give to this thing. So if you go to MetaxasTalk.com and give $250, we will give you two free subscriptions to Metaxas Super, so you can give it to a friend, one for yourself, one for a friend. And honestly, it's truly the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes.
It's 10 hours a week of radio programming on camera for you to watch with all kinds of other extras. Plus, you get a T-shirt, you get bumper stickers, you get the whole thing. If you give $500, now you're in the big time. Now you're in the high cotton, because that means you can come to a studio visit at the studio.
At the studio, yes.
Not a studio visit, not at the studio. A studio visit right in the studio.
Right
and
here.
You will see that this studio is so gorgeous, you may never want to leave. We are going to have to drag you out because there's laws. But you can visit the studio while we're doing the show. You can watch us in action, like right now.
Yeah, right
you
now.
Can see the sweat on our upper lips. It's going to be a powerful experience for you to come in here, and you can bring as many people as you want. It's not just like one person for $500. You can bring in the whole clan. What do we care? Hey, what do we care? As many as people you want to bring, we love it. We'll have photo ops and stuff. $500 if you get to the city anytime within a year. So I just think this is a fun thing. Anybody who can give more, we need more. So we wanted to say that we've got a lot more to share with you when we come back. Alvin, you've got some personal stuff you want to share.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say, TSI folks, we really need you to step up if you can. Anybody can give $10,000. I want to have dinner with you personally, and Alvin will be there if you want him.
Oh.
But he's a big eater. We'll be right back with Brian Kilmeade in the studio. It's scary. I want to see what he looks like in person.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. MetaxasTalk.com. And Santa Claus has got a toy.
Christmas, just like the ones I used.
All right, we can't play that anymore. That's racist. Please take that off the song list, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. This is a non-racist show, so we're gonna kick that to the curb. I'm sitting here with Brian Kilmeade. Some of you know him from Fox and Friends. Some of you know him from his guest appearances on every other stinking Fox show I have ever watched. Brian Kilmeade.
Or fill in guest appearances.
There you go. Yeah. Brian Kilmeade, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I've had you on before, but not in person like this.
Well, look at the studio. Have you looked around?
No.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I try to tell people and they don't really believe it, you know, and they built this basically. They built this for the radio show. So this is going to be, we're going to be airing,
I didn't realize
segments.
That. They poured the cement. They made the whole building
the
for
whole
the radio
building,
show.
And they retrofitted it so like it looks old, but it's really just, it's brand new. All the gilt, it's nuts. It's incredible. I want to talk to you about current events, but since I'm an author, I want to make sure that we tell our audience here that your book, you've got a lot of books out, but this book on Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans just came out in paperback.
Yeah. Did do afterward, and I wanted to do an afterward in because everyone thinks because Donald Trump sees so many equivalents of him and Andrew Jackson.
Yeah.
He put the portrait up in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I'm debating Donald Trump and Andrew Jackson again, and I don't mind doing it.
Yeah.
So I said in the afterward, it's not just Trump. Reagan loved him for a different reason than FDR loved him for a different reason than Truman, than Lincoln, and then Teddy Roosevelt. All different reasons that he played a major role in American history.
Right.
And I'm just amazed in my lifetime we're now reevaluating everybody. They have to be perfect or else we should just kick them off.
But that's like my stupid joke about White Christmas. I mean, we're living in times that every normal person knows that this is insane.
Yeah.
That this is sheer lunacy. It's kind of like the French Revolution, where people are stupid enough to think that they can reinvent all of reality, and it ends in a bloodbath. And by the way, reality keeps on going. Like, you know, like in the French Revolution, they decided we're now going to have 10-day weeks. Like, they basically decided to kick the weeks to the curb and, you know, whatever. We're living in a time like that. Like, we're just saying the most crazy things. Did you hear that? Like, somebody said that VeggieTales was racist.
I saw that.
I mean,
there is three or four Christmas songs that are now pulling back. They actually are protesting Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer because it actually memorializes bullying.
I mean, it's like we can't teach the Iliad and the Odyssey because it glorifies war. What are we going to do? No, it's just so crazy. But I think that you know, most people know it's crazy,
right?
But they don't maybe have a position on TV or whatever where they get to talk about it, so they just talk to their neighbors about it.
But we also live in a business where one day it turns out that something we said was so taken the wrong way that maybe they don't want us to go use the microphone and the headsets anymore.
Right. Well, at Fox News, you know, without mentioning names, there's a lot of people that used to be there that are not there right now. And I have to say, watching all that, I was stunned. I was just stunned at how when you're dealing with corporations and money, it's not necessarily an issue of right or wrong. It's kind of like the bottom line. People are losing jobs. I mean, Roseanne for a tweet is gone, on and on and on. It's
the
weird.
Year anniversary of Matt Lauer losing his job. He's probably the most secure job over the last 20 plus years in broadcasting, making over $20 million, gone in a matter of days.
Yeah.
So
we better not say anything on this program.
But how do you have a show and not say anything?
But that's the
point.
I
think you might be overreacting, Eric.
That's the point. Okay. All right.
Don't say anything interesting.
But don't you think that things have to come back? In other words, I think that people are so angry at the stupidity of it that you know, yesterday or whatever it was, no, a few days ago when the VeggieTales thing came out, I was a writer for VeggieTales, and I did I did a voice on VeggieTales, right? So people came to me for my reaction, right? And I thought, if you think you're going to get a serious reaction from me, like the only proper reaction is to mock this all day long. This is so stupid. Sometimes mockery is the only thing you can do.
Well, I was just reading a few days ago, there was a comedian at Columbia, and they threw him off the stage because he was being racially, culturally insensitive. That's what comedians do.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it, we used to say, wow, what kind of period of time was Lenny Bruce in where he couldn't curse once in a while?
Right.
And George Carlin took it on. And now these colleges are booking him. They're seeing the video. These guys do what they're supposed to do as SNL writers at Columbia. So if you're an SNL writer, you usually lean to the left, I would assume.
Of course.
So the thing is, you're trying to find humor in cultures.
Right.
And so if I'm a comedian, I'm doing what Seinfeld does.
Right.
Seinfeld says, I don't do colleges.
Isn't that amazing?
Seinfeld.
I read that. He said he had a thing. One of the funniest things he ever did was he was talking about how you scroll on your iPhone or whatever, how you scroll through. And he says, you know, now everybody sort of looks like a gay French king. That was his line, right? He got attacked for that. And it's a hilarious line because it's absolutely perfect. But that's when he just said, you know what? I don't need this. I'm so big and so wealthy, that I don't need to waste my time trying to get kids to like me.
I would think that if you have a problem with Seinfeld, who prides himself on not cursing and being a comedian for all ages,
right.
I think there's a problem with the stage and the business in general. But he's so big, like you said, you can't touch him. And my hope is that guys like that will use it to be the bulwark for other people coming up.
Right. Well, let's hope
and saying I have enough money.
Well, speaking of which, one of the best things I think about the time in which we're living is that we have a president who is as anti-PC as they come. He's kind of like the poster boy for ignoring this nonsense. And I would say he gives a lot of people hope, you know, that if he's willing as president, because usually the president is the first one that's going to, you know, be careful. He's not being that way.
I don't know. I think I agree with you. He's not being careful. Not only that, he's being provocative. I'll give you the term nationalist.
Yeah.
Now, he means it's America first. And everybody knows he means America first, but they want to say nationalist. That brings up the Nazis, and that brings up totalitarian, if I could say that word right. He just says, no, I don't mean that. Instead of backing off and apologizing, sorry for misinterpreting, he doubles and triples down. I think he might make a poster of it now.
Actually, that's why people love him and hate him, because when he does that kind of stuff, I howl with laughter. Like, I get so much entertainment out of it. I can't even stay seated. I have to like stand up and like smack the furniture. I'm just dying when I watch him on the stump talking, because he knows how to stick the stick in the beehive. He knows exactly what he's doing.
I'm very curious after this funeral and the way the Bushes treated him, which was of utmost respect. We're going to come to the Blair House. I'll bring you to the White House. And in the summer, they contacted him and said, listen, I know my dad's not doing well. Just so you know, if something happens, you're invited. And they won't. I was amazed at that. And I'm wondering if Trump watched that, sat in that front row with Obama. Obamas don't like the Clintons. Clintons don't like the Obamas. No one talks to Jimmy Carter. So I'm watching all this. And then Barack Obama, maybe likes Melania, despises the president. Michelle says, I will never forgive President Trump. They're all sitting next to each other. Having said that, when you looked up at Bush 41, he always thought of 42, the guy that beat him, as a good guy. He said, listen, I'm almost like a father figure to him. I'm hoping that Trump takes that. Like, listen, the Bush treated him with class. They are now, I will not touch the legacy of either man.
Wouldn't that be great?
I hope that would be great.
I think we need it to be great.
And you're still talking about Republicans, not attacking Republicans.
Yeah. Well, that's actually really horrifying. And you know, this president, I have defended him and praised him 99% of the time. I've been really happy to see what he does. But there are times when he'll go after Mia Love, and then Mia Love goes back after. And you think, no, we don't need that. We don't
Absolutely.
Need that.
Do you need to call Stormy Daniels horse face?
That's one of the worst ones. That's one of the worst ones.
And if you defend it, I think you and I lose credibility.
Because
then if you compliment him on regulations or the tax plan, well, what does it matter? Eric and Brian say he's great no matter what. So I think that a lot of people don't like any criticism of him. A lot of people don't like any compliments of him. I don't even, you know, it's very interesting doing our shows.
Oh, I cannot even imagine. And I know he watches your show. Or people have said that he watches.
He tweets off our show.
He tweets off your show. All right, folks, I'm talking to Brian Kilmeade. The new book, actually, it's the paperback version of the book, Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans, the battle that shaped America's destiny. We're going to get to that and more. Oh, before I forget, our campaign with CSI, if you've not yet participated, we want full participation. It doesn't matter what you give, only that you give. Please go to MetaxasTalk.com. You can see the banner for CSI. This is something that we can do. Those of us who are blessed, we're blessed to be a blessing. And there are people who, if you were in their shoes, you'd be praying that somebody in America would just do something to help them, folks. Whatever you can do, it doesn't matter. God will bless you as you give. But please go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the CSI banner, or if you want to call 1-800-222-5909. 1-800-222-5909. Folks, that is Burl Ives. Who doesn't like Burl Ives? Raise your hand. I love Burl Ives. Brian Kilmeade, do you like Burl Ives?
Absolutely.
How do you? That's so funny. You were kind of like, you're afraid to answer because, like, well, I could say, well, he's my dad. I want to ask you, you know, a lot of people, you're one of these people, we see you on TV, but how many people know your story? I know you and I have hung out a little bit where I asked you where you're from and stuff, but do you mind sharing where you grew up?
Well, first off, I'm a little offended you're playing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I think it's totally,
it's
inappropriate.
It's pro-bullying.
It's totally inappropriate.
I've taken a pro-bullying stance.
Which is interesting.
Yeah,
you're alone in that.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Again,
yeah.
They laughed at Columbus. My thing is, I joined Fox in 1996, started filling in full-time in 1997, really as a sports guy. And they said, well, you need to do sports on the morning show. And then you would do sports every 9 minutes, go and do a three-minute sports cast. But they would, no one was watching Fox News. No one got it. I mean, now we're in every home, but in the beginning, we weren't even on in New York. So I literally was on two networks at the same time. New Sport, which was a 24-hour sports network,
right,
which was NBC and Cablevision put together a venture,
yeah,
which is now ESPN News, which they took the format and made it ESPN News. So very few people, about 20 million homes for that. And then Fox News says, hey, we need a sports guy to fill in for Gordy Hershiser, who is Oral's younger brother.
Get out.
Yeah. And they did a three-hour sports show during the day, so they were killing him with workload. And he said, I can't do this three-hour sports show and work 5 days a week. So they liked my tape, and a lot of people don't, and these guys did. So they brought me in, and they said, can you fill in tomorrow? And I thought, I'm not sure I should because I'm on the other channel, but not many people watch the other channel. Why don't I try because no one sees your channel in my head? So I was doing both, and no one saw me.
And this is the 90s.
97. Now,
did you
96.
Know, but did you know as a kid you wanted to go into broadcasting?
Oh, there's no question.
You did. Yeah, and you grew up in Long Island.
Yeah.
Which part?
Massapequa.
Come on. We talked about this.
Yeah.
I know. Like, you're a local boy. You are
right.
From here. You grew up in Massapequa.
Still live in Massapequa.
And you still live in Massapequa.
Lack of personal growth and emotional growth.
I love it.
Right.
I think.
Why, where are you from?
Well, I was born in Queens.
Okay.
My
parents from Woodhaven Boulevard.
Oh, come
my
on.
Grandparents, I should say.
Yeah, well, I mean, Queens, and then eventually moved to Danbury, Connecticut, which is the working class part of Fairfield County, Connecticut. So that's where I grew up, and now, of course, we're here in the city. But all our relatives lived like right around Massapequa. You know, north.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, Belmore, Merrick, the whole that area.
The Babylon Line.
The Babylon Line. That's right. So that's why I feel like I have a secret insight into you. But as a kid, you wanted to go into broadcasting.
Yeah, and I thought sports was my quickest way. And that's why, you know, I always had a passion for sports, but I never loved the games. I liked the people. I was like, yo, you tell me this guy batted 220 for 5 years, and the sixth year he bats 290, and it's 29 home runs, and this team wins the World Series. I like that story. Yeah. I actually don't care about your team. I care about the individuals. So I like the sports stories, but never loved the games. There's always people that can memorize more stats. But I always was passionate for the news, and one of my first hobbies, and turns out it's my only one, I used to rip headlines. I used to be fascinated by points in time. And I used to be like, okay, the Oakland Raiders win the Super Bowl in 1977. John Madden carried off. I'm going to keep that. Richard Nixon gets impeached. I'm going to keep that. And I used to just, even when I was little, just be fascinated. I put them into books, and that's usually that's for Christmas. They used to say, what do you want? I go, just get me another album with the sticky pad
get
on it that I could put over, because I was just fascinated by points in time.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
And here you are.
It shows how lonely I am.
That's
I mean, why wouldn't I be like a normal kid and go play jacks or something?
Or beat up your brother or something.
Right.
Now, did you have siblings?
But one older, one younger.
Do you have kids?
Three.
Three?
Yes.
How old are your kids?
My son is now 22. I have a daughter now, a senior in high school, and another one, a sophomore in high school.
Wow. So you've been through it.
Right.
Right?
I like to think I've been through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, first they need you. Now you have to make sure you get in their way so you slow them down.
Right.
So you find out what exactly they're up to. Suddenly
right.
That happens. You too?
Well, we just have one daughter. She's 19. She's doing okay because she knows if she doesn't, I love her so much, I will kill her.
Right.
You know, that's love. Right.
Right.
That's ethnic New York area love.
That's
right.
Old style 1970s, 1950s
that's
love.
That's where I'm coming from. That's where I'm coming from. I love you so much. I might kill you, so be careful.
Right.
All right. I want to talk to you about why when we talk about Andrew Jackson, obviously, he's not a figure a lot of people know. He's not a Mount Rushmore. He's not like Ben Franklin. He's not somebody that everybody says, yeah, I know his story. What is it that drew you to write about him?
A couple of things. You know, I'm from Long Island, and you know, George Washington's Secret Six is aspiring. I knew nothing about it, even though I grew up there and went to Long Island University. I looked at it for 20 years. Then National Treasure pops up, and I said, this is a better story, and it actually happened. And I never thought I could write a book because there were books out there. And I used to go up to people when Jerry Bruckheimer or other people used to do the show. I used to go, no, this sounds a little crazy, but I got this spy ring. Number one, they thought I was making it up. And number two, they were like, you have no track record.
And
how
that's
do you expect
your,
ever
that's
do a
your
movie?
First book.
So and then they said, if you write a book, I don't care if five people buy it. If you could just point to a book and say, based on this book,
right.
They'll do it. So I ended up going with Don Yeager, who I knew from sports, and putting together this book like a news story, trying to get new information about a spy ring, and we work our way through. That book ends up doing very well, but I wanted to leave. I'm done. I said, I looked at that for 20 years. I have no other books. They go, well, you're passionate about the war on terror. Maybe we should do something on that. I go, well, I'm fascinated by the fact that anytime someone writes with context on the war on terror, they talk about Jefferson taking on Islamic extremists
right.
in the Barbary Wars. So
right.
I did that.
Right.
Then after, I was always been fascinated again because I'm lonely, and I either write that or I collect a headline. I always been fascinated by the War of 1812 when George Bush was. I was lucky enough to have him bring me through the White House, and he pointed to the archway where they burned the White House,
oh,
and it's
wait
still
a minute.
There.
Wait, okay, this, we're going to hang it right there. Hold on, folks. I can't believe that you got to see that. Brian Kilmeade is my guest. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. When we come back, the rest of that story. Stick around. Hey there, folks. I think that's Teresa Brewer. I'm sitting here with Brian Kilmeade. Brian, you're telling the story of how you came. You got fascinated with the battle of with the War of 1812. And you said that George Bush has given you a tour of the White House, and he shows you go back to
by
that.
The bowling alley. There's an archway and there's burn marks there. And he said, you realize where that's from. And I thought, could it be possible? It's the War of 1812. And he said, it's the War of 1812. I go, well, didn't they rebuild the whole thing? He said, well, my hunch is they left part of it scorched to remind everyone how fragile democracy is and how close we came to being destroyed as a country. And that I've always been fascinated by that war because no one ever talks about it. It was a draw. They
That's
said it
right.
was unnecessary.
That's right.
But it was probably one of the most necessary wars we ever will fight because Our democracy, idea of democracy, was trying to be destroyed on the inside and outside. You know, we were coming apart with the states. And around the world, if you're a king, queen, or an absolute monarch, you don't love the democracy thing.
Right.
You kind of want to keep the power.
Right.
Washington leaving, not good for their business. Kings don't usually run for office. So they wanted to make sure that this experiment wouldn't work. But until we actually won, we actually fought off the British, and the Battle of New Orleans sent the message that the rest of the world thought they had a shot at destroying us.
I did not know that. I love history, and this is why I get excited about having people on who've done this, because you realize every American should know this. This is not just like interesting little thing. This is central, what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way, when people get overreactive because, Barack Obama's going to destroy the country, or Donald Trump is bringing us to a place we've never been before, wrong. This is debate. You want to talk about a country tearing itself apart? How about picking a fight with the world superpower without a standing army and without a navy? That's what we did with the British.
Yeah.
We got all riled up and the war started and we were ultimately unprepared and we were getting destroyed and the Atlantic coast been terrorized. It wasn't until the Battle of New Orleans, led by a 41-year-old self-trained militia general named Andrew Jackson. We don't win that war. The British take New Orleans, hold the city, and stop America from going past the Mississippi.
Okay, so quick question. Why do people compare President Trump to President Andrew Jackson?
Unrelated to this war, but when he became president, both were hated by the establishment. So they took their case to the people. Andrew Jackson was the first to campaign for the job. They used to hand out lithographs of him on a horse with a sword to say, that's your general, elect him. Now, John Quincy Adams and Clay and Webster said, this guy's not ready to be president. He's a backwoodsman. He doesn't know anybody. He's not from Boston, Philadelphia, New York, or Virginia. So he's an outsider. He doesn't have the intellect of Jefferson. He certainly can't fill the shoes of Madison or Monroe, although Monroe liked him. As Secretary of War, he could appreciate what kind of guy he was.
What number president was he?
He was 7.
Okay, just think about that, right? That's like 7. So before him, was Monroe the 6th?
Right before him.
Right. So then you're talking,
John Quincy Adams, then Monroe.
Okay.
John Quincy Adams is George Bush 41,
yeah.
Only with the attitude of Barack Obama. He is so qualified. He was a
minister
of Russia. He was the one who negotiated the Treaty of Ghent. So he's the intellect. His dad was the second president, the first vice president.
Right.
So who is this backwoodsman without a formal education to take me on? And he did, and he won.
Who's this reality show star, Andrew Jackson? Who does he think he is? So that's interesting. And he was popular with the people.
Hated by his predecessor. In fact, he didn't even show up to his inauguration, John Quincy Adams. You think it was bad for Barack Obama? He left the White House. There was no security. Ended up being a wild White House party with all the uncouth people when Andrew Jackson was president. He had to have security circle him because the place got so out of hand. And then when he goes into Washington, no one wants to work for him. So he hires his family. Who else would hire their family to work in the White House?
Now, that's funny, except for JFK and Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That is very interesting. I mean, he's on our $20 bill, but he's just not somebody that typically is known.
Eric, the other thing is the Hermitage became a power base. This is Jacksonian era for a reason. James K. Polk, Sam Houston, all these people would come through there for his blessing and advice on how to become powerful in Washington.
And where was the Hermitage?
It still is in Nashville, and they're almost reconstituted the entire thing again. If you're going to go anywhere to say, I want to go to Nashville, have a great time on Broadway, make sure half hour from the airport you go to the Hermitage. Unbelievable tour, great grounds. They still make it like a park. You play baseball and everything there, but you see it exactly as he left it. And I do actually on Fox Nation, the brand new app, streaming app, I do a series called What Made America Great. I go behind the glass with Jackson. I'll feed this to you. I don't know how much time you have.
I got time. Go.
So he looked up to Washington like most people, but he liked Washington because he was an elite. Washington always had this thing where, I'm not as smart. I didn't have the formal education of Jefferson, Monroe, Madison, Adams. But, he was this lauded figure. Jackson felt the same way. And he said, everything about Washington he loved. So when Washington wins the Battle of Yorktown, he gets everyone in a tent, all his officers. Then he says, here, take a candle, because I'm going to light this candle. We just made history. We just won this war. He says, I want you to remember the rest of this time, the time we had together, because we fought this war, we won this war. The world will always remember this, and I want you to remember this. All those officers kept that candle. When word came out that Jackson loved Washington, the son of one of those officers makes the trip to the Hermitage and says, my dad would want you to have this. We go into the Hermitage behind the glass. There's that candle. The link from today.
Are you kidding?
From Washington to Jackson. It sits
there. It's there?
It sits there. And Jackson, when you go to visit him, wanted you to go to his trophy room. He would tell people the story. That's Washington's candle, Battle of Yorktown, given to me by the son of an officer.
Oh, my gosh.
So it sits out there.
The fact
really
that you can
go.
See that.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have I been in Nashville and never been there? It's interesting, too, because the fact that he was from that neck of the woods. I mean, Nashville, that is, back then, was the backwater. I mean, we're not talking about Boston, Philadelphia, like you said, or even Virginia. I mean, that's nowheresville.
He was
a hick. And he became president of the United States.
Which gave people inspiration. This whole idea of an American dream was one. You don't have to know someone to achieve. You don't have to know Jefferson to hand off to James Madison, who handed off to James Monroe. No. America says if you work hard, you can achieve anything. That's what Jackson represents.
Even somebody from Queens or Massapequa could become president of the United States.
I would think that's a little bit too much.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That'll never happen. We just got a couple seconds left in this segment. Quick, will Trump be reelected?
I think it's easier for him to get reelected than elected. It's in his hands. It's going to be more on what he does than what the type of campaign he runs. Let's see what he does for the next year and a half.
Okay.
Earn it. That's what I say.
Okay.
Earn it.
Okay, we got 4 minutes left on the other side of the break with Brian Kilmeade. The book is Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans, the battle that shaped America's destiny. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around.
Down to Dixie's sunny shore, from Atlantic to Pacific.
Gee, the traffic is terrific. Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. 'Cause no matter how far away.
The mood is right, the spirit's up. We're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas.
Hey there, folks.
Time.
It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Brian Kilmeade. But before I forget, we're doing a campaign with Christian Solidarity International. You know that while we have these happy conversations and we live in this land of freedom, there are people around the world simply for being Christians. They're being persecuted, enslaved, killed, chased out of their homes because they're Christians, because Boko Haram and other militant Islamic groups don't believe in what we believe here in the United States of America. So they're literally being enslaved. You can buy someone out of slavery. This sounds like I'm making it up. For $250, CSI, they have connections on the ground. This is what they do. But they need your support at Christmas. There'd be nothing better you could do than to go to MetaxasTalk.com. Click on the banner for the CSI website. There's all kinds of stuff we want to give you to thank you. But the main thing is that you and your family ought to know that the freedoms we have are so precious and so rare in this world. The least we can do with them is use them to bless those who don't have them. So please, folks, go to CSI. The banner is right at the top of MetaxasTalk.com and give as generously as you can. God bless you as you give. Now, Brian Kilmeade, I've learned more about Andrew Jackson in the few minutes with you than I learned in school.
Wow.
And I went to Yale University. That's one of the worst universities ever.
Right.
They don't teach you this stuff.
Is that a 4-year?
Not anymore.
Right.
No, now it's like a 5-year.
Right.
No, I swear, though, when it comes to America, if you go in there as a patriot, you know, you're going to graduate as somebody who probably thinks like America is the force of evil in the world. That's most of elite institutions. But I would submit to you, Yale's one of the worst. And so,
did you know it at the time?
Absolutely not. That's the point. You go in as a happy, you know, I come from a working class background. My parents didn't go to college. And so you go in there, you're like, hey, here I am. It's the American dream. I'm at Yale. Teach me. And what they teach you, you know, this was in the 80s, but I'm saying they're teaching you the politically correct handbook, basically. So by the time I graduated, I was very, very confused. And it's taken me a few years to find my way back.
Wow. Well, you should get that Yale thing off your resume and just change the subject every time someone brings it up.
I no longer have a resume. Well, that's the funny thing. It's like it's a great credential, right? People are impressed by that. And yet I know that it's only by the grace of God that I escaped that worldview, because most of my fellow graduates, they're not where we are politically.
Okay.
They're not patriotic.
Right.
And, you know, if you say you like Trump, you're going to lose a few friends.
Right.
Have you lost any friends?
I didn't have many to start with. So
you're
I didn't
a lonely kid?
No, I pretty much work all the time. I haven't really lost any friends. Actually, most of the people that I hang out with in my neighborhood are very happy that he won.
Yeah.
Are thrilled that he
won.
That's
a great neighborhood. I'd like to move there. That sounds like better than my neighborhood.
Right.
Actually, that's not so true. A lot of people that they're quiet about it in Manhattan, right? I've got a number of neighbors, and I was like, I don't know where they're coming from. They love this president.
Well, Eric, let me just ask you something. How did the pull out of Iraq go? We had that war won. Let me ask you, what about the JV team that came and took over Syria? How did that go? Let me just ask you, what happened with our economy? What happened with the $800 billion we gave him to get shovel-ready projects? That's not a matter of – it's not my political judgment.
Yeah.
Just show me the results.
You know, you need to be on TV more because you know what you're talking about.
Sometimes.
I like that. We're out of time. Brian Kilmeade, God bless you and congratulations on this book and all that you're doing. Thanks so much.
Go get him, Eric. Thanks for having me on.
Christmas Day, that's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.